We're going to be talking about the strongest part of your mind, which is your will. This part of your soul is the one that pulls from all the other aspects to make a decision. Your will is what causes you to have action. Come on in. Cause you to have action. Where this is where your yeses come from and where your noes come from is the will. And so your will, and this is and your will has the final say-so of what your mind and your soul is going to do. And if it's not in agreement with your spirit, it drags your spirit along. All right? Your will drags your spirit along if your mind is not lined up with your spirit. Does that make sense? So, you know, and here's the beautiful thing about the will. Your will is the only part of your soul that God won't touch. God will not touch the aspect of your soul called the will. He won't mess with it. And the reason why is because your will is the thing that determines what you do. If God will interfere with your will, we're puppets. Now, if we're puppets, that means love can't exist. Why? Because there's no choice. Once again, we talk about this over and over. That's why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the middle of the garden. It didn't have no barbed wire fence around it. It didn't have no chain link fence. It wasn't guarded. It was in the open. Because God wanted man to have a choice. Because when you choose based on your will, that's where love comes from. That's how you show love, by your actions. So, the will pulls from the imagination, from your memory, from your emotions, from your intellect, in order to make decisions. What makes what Jesus did so powerful by dying on the cross, taking on our sin, getting the keys of the kingdom of how God does things, getting the keys of the kingdom from Satan and giving them to us and redeeming us, is he gave us our will back. The blood of Jesus gives you your will back. See, this is why the message on, how many of you have ever heard, well, Apostle taught on a while back on this, what they call a hyper grace message. Where, you know, of course, it's true. Jesus, the grace and the blood of Jesus cover past, present, and future sins. That's truth. But what they started teaching was that it doesn't matter what you do, grace covers it. What that does, it takes away the importance of your will, and it takes away love. Because many people don't understand that it's not only that God loves us, but we have to love him. And don't tell me you can't love God like God loves you, because you can. How I know? Romans 5:5. Turn there. And hope maketh not ashamed, Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So God's love is put in our souls. Because of the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is able to put the love of God in our souls. So you have the power and the ability to make right decisions. So when I don't adhere to this power, I'm going to make the wrong decisions. So when it comes to, even when it comes to sin, the devil ain't make nobody do nothing. The devil can't make nobody do nothing. The devil did not get that fruit off the tree. The devil did not make Adam, didn't hold Adam down, didn't tell Adam, you better eat this fruit. Didn't force it down him. Just made a suggestion. Just made a suggestion. Just a little lie. And based off that, they made their own decision. They willed to do that. Are y'all getting this? So your will, you have to guard your will. It is the gatekeeper. Your will is the thing that determines how far you're going to go with God. Your will is the part of your soul that makes the decisions, that pulls all the other aspects of the soul together and gives you the go-ahead or the no-go. You know, in the book of Isaiah, first chapter, verse 19, it's not coincidence, turn there, it's not coincidence that verse 18 and 19 go together. It's not coincidence. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, let's read verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall what? Eat the good of the land. If ye be what? Not just obedient, but willing. Willing is giving the indication that you're about to have an appreciation for what you're about to be obedient to. I'm not just doing, you can use yourself as an example. How many times as kids we were given instructions and we won't do it? We just did it anyway. We ain't like it, we ain't won't do it, we just did it. It really didn't mean nothing because you wasn't willing. So you probably ain't learned what you're supposed to be learning. You get what I'm saying? So you have to be willing and obedient. That means I have to have my will under control. Now, how does my will get under control? Look at verse 18. It's not coincidence that these two scriptures are together or that they're in a consecutive order. They're right next to each other. Come now and let us reason together. Says who? The Lord. Though your sins or your actions be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be red like crimson, but they shall be as wool. Because then if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So that come and let us reason together is what's causing our will to be changed. There are some things that God's going to tell you to do that you might not want to do. That's why you take time to become willing. How do I become willing? Reasoning with God. Putting your thoughts with his. That's why, once again, we're going to go over the scripture over and over again, Romans 12 and 2. Turn there. See, God understands how the human mind works. And I wonder why he understands it. I wonder why. Thank you. He know how the human brain functions. He knows how the mind works. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote the way he wrote in Romans, the 12th chapter. Verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of, renewing. That means it happens again and again and again. Renewing of your mind. Why? That you may be able what? Prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So here it is, the Apostle Paul is saying that we have to renew our minds, meaning this is something that has to constantly be done. So God understood, he understands how the human mind works. So this has to be done on a consistent basis. Renew, make new again, almost like washing clothes. When you wash your clothes, they smell just like it did before you put them on. Renew. What happens when you put clothes in a washing machine? There's an agitator. That when you put the detergent and the water and in there with the agitator, it shakes around, jumbles up things, shakes things loose. So that the mind can go back to its original design, which is to think like God think. So that's what the word, that's the purpose. That's why the word of God has to be meditated on a daily basis. This is why God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. What are you talking about? Agitate your thoughts. Why your thoughts got to be agitated? Your thoughts got to be agitated because you're going to have to make some decisions. See, everything, every time somebody did something for God, it wasn't because God decided it. They decided it. God already planned it. Every time somebody does, Daniel in the lion's den, God didn't decide that for him. He decided, I'm going to follow God, whatever I got to do. And God had it planned for him to be protected in all things. But you got to realize, what Daniel didn't just jump up and jump in the lion's den. He was praying 3 times a day. He was reasoning with God 3 times a day. So that had him in the right mind that when that king came up with that rule that could cost him his life, his will was strengthened to say, I'm not going to follow that. I'm not closing my window. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray to God 3 times. I'm going to keep doing my same thing. Are y'all seeing this? See, God is not deciding for anything. He's not deciding anything for us. He's not deciding anything for you. You have to decide. That's why your will is, that's why Satan wants to mess with your will so bad. Because once you decide to do what God has asked you to do, it's impossible for him to stop it. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Don't let anybody take away your responsibility for you. Don't you give it away. Don't you give it away. Explain that to me clearer. No matter what happens to you in this world system, don't you give the blame to nobody else. Listen to me very carefully. Accept it whether you cause it or not. Why should I do that? Because when I take responsibility for it, I can change it. When I blame somebody else, then they the only one that got the power to change it, even though they might have done it. Is this? Watch this. I was dealing with ministering to my wife, and I was ministering to a young lady about 2 weeks ago, and she had told us about a job interview she was going on. And the only reason why she was going to this job interview is because the guy, the gentleman in human resources that had put out the job, came to her and told her, "I think you'll be good for this job. I think you'll be perfect for it." So she applied for it. All right, now she applied for it, and when she went on the interview with the guy who says she'll be good for it, it was as if she said he flipped and started doing things to block her from getting the promotion. Now it was more money, more very flexible, and so it looked like it was a better opportunity, right? And so she was telling my wife and I about it, and we was ministering, and we was listening at her. And the Holy Spirit told me to tell her that job wasn't for her. God has something better for her. But God needed him to touch her. So when I said that to her, she began to explain to us about, at the particular place, her place of business, they're very open, as they say, open-minded. So they believe in homosexuality. They believe in all kinds of stuff. And this particular guy is big on same-sex marriage, real big. He went and got his license to do same-sex marriage, and he's gung-ho for it. Even though he's married to a female, and she said he was suspect anyway, but that's a different point. But he's real big in that company and pushing that. And so when she began to tell it to me, after I told her what I said, it made sense what I said. I told her, God sometimes leads us into situations so that certain people can touch us. So then it becomes up to him to deal with them. See, this is why your mind had to be renewed with the word of God, so that you won't get discouraged when something happens to you and your will get clouded and judged, and therefore your will get clouded and you begin to make all kind of crazy decisions. Because I know I've said this before, but you need to understand this. One of the fallacies of the Christian world today is that we're not going to suffer. There's a difference between suffering and struggling. There's a difference. Jesus began to tell us that we're going to suffer some things. Because you're claiming me, you're going to suffer some things. That's what he said. All the word suffer simply means is you're going to be vexed. Listen to me, you're going to be vexed by some things. People are going to try to do things to stop you. People are going to do things to get on your nerves. They're going to do things to block you. But if you understand this, once again, one of the fallacies of the Christian world that we have is that when we get born again, everything is going to be perfect. Once again, I bring you back to Adam and Eve. The Garden of Eden wasn't the whole earth. It was a section of the earth. Because once again, if it was the whole earth, where did God expel them? If Eden was the whole earth, where did God, when he say you cast out, where did he put them? See, what happened is, once again, I'm going over stuff again, but I need you to understand it, because a lot of times we hear these things and we don't realize that we are designed to face darkness. We were created to face darkness. Adam and Eve were designed, they were being trained to face darkness. They just got released a little early before they had all their training finished. But they, because remember God said, be fruitful and multiply. They wasn't talking about sex and children. That was talking about when you go out in this outer darkness, I want you to be fruitful and multiply what you've learned in here. Are you seeing this? So a lot of times you're going to face things from people and you're going to wonder, I'm doing everything right. I'm meditating the word of God. I'm spending time with God. Why is this happening to me? Easily explain it. Go to the 23rd Psalm. See, we read these scriptures and don't be, we memorize these scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. All these, notice what he says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That, if we don't see that right, it'll make it seem like God is forcing us to do something. But that's because we allowed him. Still based on your decision now. Huh? Watch what he says. He leadeth me. I have to choose to follow. Beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He restores my soul. He restores me to my proper way of thinking. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He watch this. He leads me the path of righteousness. What that means? That means he causes me or gives me the opportunity to do things his ways right. That's what righteousness is, his way right. He gives me a chance to do things the way he would do them for his name's sake. So that's really what they're saying is he is empowering me to do what he's asking me to do so I can establish his kingdom in the earth. All right? That's why the soul is restored. All right? Now watch this. Watch this now. Watch what he says. Verse 4, this is the scripture that most people can't explain, especially today's Christian, the 21st century Christian, can't explain this one because everything's supposed to be a utopia. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So if my enemies are there, that means I'm in unfamiliar territory. And yet God prepares a table before me in their presence. So that means that when I'm in the dark or when I'm in troubling situations, the light that's in me is changing the atmosphere. Light don't need to be with light. Light needs to be with. So if I'm a Christian with this utopia complex, if I'm a Christian, listen to me, if I'm a Christian with this utopia complex, I don't want nothing. I don't want to go through nothing. I'm not saying you ain't got to look for nothing. It's coming. You ain't got to look for it. It's coming. But if I avoid it and I don't see this is God leading me in the valley. Because when he led me in the valley, the shadow of darkness, I'm not supposed to fear no evil. And in the valley, he's preparing a table. So that means even in my suffering, I'm being successful. I may not like where I'm at, but I ain't struggling. See, there's a difference between suffering and struggling. I'm still thinking about your will. Because a lot of times when God has you dealing with something, Satan coming, gonna mess with your mind. But you, if your will is been, if your mind has been renewed, your, if you have reasoned with God and you're willing and obedient, you don't mind going where God is leading you. And God is not always going to lead you between the tulips. Because sometimes God got to put you in a place where other people are going to touch you so now he can be God. I hope y'all seeing this. I give you a prime example. How many of y'all remember Apostle started teaching on grace? Remember he started teaching on hyper grace and he was going in that direction and he was reading and all of a sudden he come back next Sunday and say, y'all, we're not going that direction. You remember that? Well, that's God leading him somewhere so he can find out the truth about what's going on. For that to happen, you have to have a strong will, because erroneous teaching can mess your life up. So if he didn't have a strong will and know how to follow God, that erroneous teaching could have messed us all up. But God had him go in to see what is all this about. And with his, and watch this, by him reasoning with God and being an apostle, structuring doctrine, able to see, oh, this is going the wrong direction. This. Y'all seeing this? But if his will wasn't at top notch, at the top of his game, we could have been led off. So you see how important the will is. So the will is, has to be strong, because God going to have you go some directions and you're going to look around and be like, I don't believe this God. But God is trying to get you somewhere. I know Daniel didn't think that was God to have him in the lion's den. I know they didn't think it was God for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to be in that fire until they looked over and saw the fourth one. I know that. Are you seeing this? So if you don't have your will strengthened, if you don't have your will, if you don't use the word of God to strengthen your will, then Satan can easily come in and turn to Matthew, the fourth chapter, come in and change your decision. Matthew, the fourth chapter. This is why we're about to read why Jesus, or one of the reasons why Jesus was the one to die on the cross for us. And it has to do with your soul and your will. I want you to see this. See, Jesus didn't die for your spirit. He didn't die for your spirit. He died for your soul to get out of where your spirit. See, everybody got a spirit. The question is the spirit connected to God or disconnected from God? Because if everybody didn't have a spirit, then there would be no hell. Because there'd be nobody there. If sinners didn't have spirits, it would be no reason for hell. So sinners have spirits. The problem is they're not connected to God. Why are they not connected to God? Because sin has them blocked. That sin nature has them blocked. So Jesus and your sin nature is not in your spirit. Sin nature is in your soul. Sin nature is not in your spirit, it's in your soul. So Jesus came not to improve your spirit, but to get your soul out the way. Get your soul back right so that you can have, your spirit can have connection with its original creator. Watch this. Then Jesus was led up, verse 1, then Jesus was led up of the spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now let's get this straight. Now let's get this straight, because I'm, thank you, Holy Spirit, because I'm about to prove to you what I just said. I'm about to prove to you what I just said. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? Why? That's why this. So That's why we can't get all uptight when God is leading us somewhere. And we like, based on my theological revelation of my utopian Christian world I'm having, this can't be God. Because we see, I'm not saying you're going to look for it, because you ain't going to have to look for it. But if you go in that direction, don't be alarmed. Are y'all getting this? So watch this now. Watch the importance of this. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for the sole purpose to be tempted of the devil. All right. Now watch what the Spirit did. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Let's get this. Let's get the importance of the will here. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Before, Satan, before you come, let me make this unfair. Jesus, you fast 40 days and 40 nights so that your flesh is weak as it can be. You don't eat. You eat. You eat, you don't eat, you eat. So the flesh ain't got nothing to do with this. So, he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. That means his spirit was in tune with the Holy Ghost already, right? So the Spirit, watch this, the Spirit is there. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights so that the flesh can be gotten out the way. He made it uneven. He made it unfair. Made it unfair. Now Satan, come on. All right, so you see the scenario, right? Jesus at his fleshly weakest moment. At his weakest moment. And what do you, I need to show you some, draw some comparisons. It's the same situation as in the garden. Adam and Eve wasn't at their weakest moment. They weren't at their weakest moment. They were nowhere to being hungry. They had everything they wanted. But here it is, Jesus at his flesh's weakest moment. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the reason why he was in absolute control, watch this. The reason why he was in absolute control is because his will was in control. Your spirit going to do what it's going to do. The spirit going to do what it's going to do, but the will had to be in control. See, this is the issue I have with hyper grace, and they saying you can go ahead and sin and grace going to cover it, because then you taking your will out of the picture. Your will is you. This is why I have a problem. I have a problem with counsel couples all the time. And whether it's a wife cheating on a husband or a husband cheating on a wife. But I love her. But I love him. No, you don't. Right. I stop him. No, you don't. I don't even want to hear that. No, you don't. He makes you feel comfortable. She makes you feel comfortable. You're afraid to lose that security. But you don't love them. So once again, it's about you. If you did, your will would be, and you'll be able to say no, because your will is you. The will is you. Are you getting this? So here it is, Jesus is at his weakest moment. Now here comes Satan. We're going to close here. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now that's a mouthful right there, because here it is. I don't want you to see something Jesus did. Jesus was so confident in who he was and what he had come to do that Satan was trying to trick him into telling him who he was. He said, if you be the Son of God, what would he say? If you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He never said if he was the Son of God. He just was dealing with him. Other words, what Jesus was saying is, I don't have to explain to nobody who I am. Long as I know who I am, long as I know what I come, I ain't got to explain to nobody. Listen to me. I told her, you ain't got to explain to nobody why you ain't got that job. You ain't got to explain to nobody. Just know that God was using you because he needed to get to somebody. He needed to get to somebody's attention. And what I told her, I told her, God is not this type of God to where he don't let you know what's going on. I said, all I want you to do is sit there, go back to your original job. Don't be hateful. Don't say these white folks trying to hold me back. Even though it might have been that case. Don't you harbor that. Because now if you harbor that bitterness and you walk in unforgiveness, now your will is jacked up. Is this making sense? I said, just go back. I say, nah, just make a mental note. Just watch it. Just watch. All you gotta do is sit back and watch. And I said, it may be 6 months, it may be a year, it may be a year and a half. But you can come back and talk to her. You can come back and tell us what happened. Because God was using you to deal with something. This is what same thing God was doing with Jesus. Drove him to the wilderness, break your body down. So it is just soul on soul. Spirit, soul, spirit, and soul. So it's just Jesus' soul and his spirit dealing with Satan's soul and his spirit. Flesh ain't got nothing to do with this. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taking him up into a holy city and set it up on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is all Jesus' will. This is just Jesus' will. His spirit being exemplified because his will wants it to. Are you seeing this? Again, the devil, verse 8, taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Jesus said this, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want you to see this scenario. This is one of the reasons why Jesus could die on the cross. Because in order for him to be the sacrificial lamb, he had to go through what man had been going through and conquer it. Go through what man was going through and conquer it. Turn around and give it to us. So the same empowerment that Jesus had to do this with Satan, you have it. So that's why you can't have an excuse, the devil made me do it. Because of this passage right here. Because you did it because you chose to. Because of the will being weakened. Next week we're going to finish on the will, and we're going to talk about the will some more. But I want you to see yourself throughout the day. Because some of this stuff you got to put in practice. So a lot of times, practice having control over your will. Sometimes some things that you used to doing, that you like doing, sometimes say, nope, we're not going to do that today. I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to watch this today. Your body going to holler. All sorts of excuses are gonna come up. All sorts of excuses are gonna come up because now that's the rest of your soul that likes it, trying to give you reasons of why to do it. But you got to have your will to where you can say no, where you can say yes. Practice, well, practice. Just watch. You go, man. I'm telling you, all sorts of stuff gonna come up. Somebody gonna be in a call. You say, child, you saw that show? Did you see? I'm telling you, because Satan don't want nothing else but control of your will. All right.